Hey, I am really glad that you're here and that you clearly have a desire to see something happen. Here's the thing that I want you to remember as we're going through this. And this is the phrase that I stole from somebody. This is what we do. This is who we are. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, guys, this is us. This is our territory. And what we found, which was embarrassing and shocking and terrifying, is when we got our church together and we were going to do like a campaign and do stuff with the Spirit, we realized that almost zero of our leaders felt confident in praying for people the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Close to zero. And that might have included the staff. And I think if you would talk to your people in your church, you would be a little bit surprised that they don't actually feel confident to do this. And we kind of went on a mission here to say, we don't want that. We think we can do better than that because this is what we do. This is who we are. This is who you is. Like really great English, right? This is who you are. You are, as part of the Lifelinks denomination, as part of the church that you represent, you are that. And because we are that, doesn't mean we actually have the ability to walk that out with our people, or you might, but the people around you might feel like, oh no, I'm not sure how to do this. And what you want for yourself and for the people around you is to be completely confident in the fact that every time they pray, that God is going to do something in the hearts of the people that they pray for, because they're going to have that faith, right, to have that happen. And it isn't because, you know, Frank, who is now our new Jedi Council member, whoa, you know, I knew he would love that I would say that, you know, because we get, you know, we get Frank here and he can do it, you know, because Dave laid hands on him. So that's clearly not what this is about, right? There's about people in your church who want to have that complete confidence that when they pray, people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so guys, why is this important to us? What did the baptism of the Holy Spirit do in you? Give me, like, no long answers, please. What did it do for you when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit? Freedom, boldness, peace. Solidified an experience of God's presence. Nice. Oh, yeah, there's that thing. Super funny. Did you hear that? He was interceding and his sister. Yeah, yeah. He was praying and his sister left the streets of prostitution. Whoa. Yeah, and what else? Because you all have a story. I'm going to pick on some of the people you know. Ellie, why? What happened to you? Okay. What else? Dwayne. Pray more effectively. Nice. Right. How many of you were younger when you received it? Yeah. We prayed over our kids, and it was like, okay, you want to see the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's kind of like, do you want to have lunch? Right? And we prayed over them. They started speaking in tongues, and it was great. And we went for lunch. And because they had no mind problems, right? And but here's the thing, and as we move into this, this is what I kind of want to talk to you about. First, I wanted to stir you up a little bit because this is our thing, and we need this, and we need the confidence to have it, and it's huge, guys, and we forget this sometimes. We forget how important it is. If you've lived it, lived in it, we say, oh, yeah, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit, yeah, we should probably do that sometime. This is us. This is who we are. And what I want you to talk about, what I want to talk to you about is we want to have the Father, the Son, and the whole experience, right? That's what we're looking for here, that people would understand and have the whole deal and that they would get it because it's who we are, because it's what we do. There are people who you are going to pray for, and this is like completely crass, but I'm going to ask this, and I want you to be honest, you're in the temple, don't lie. What percentage of people that you pray for And maybe if you've prayed for nobody, your percentage is like a zero, but that's okay. What, like, even in your church or whatever, what percentage of people that you pray for immediately get it? You ever thought about that? You know, we started thinking about that a little bit more, because if it's who we are, it's what we do, then we wanted to think, well, if it's really valuable, we want to talk about this. We want to think about this. And we realized, and I know this is kind of crass, right? Thinking about percentages when you're talking about the Holy Spirit. We realized our percentage was not that great. And we thought, We thought for sure, and Graham, you'll understand this. We thought for sure there was like sin in people's life. And we picked Pastor Dwayne. Must be sin. There was sin in the camp, right? That's why. No, we didn't. We said, hey, you know what? We need to do this better. Because there are some people who you're going to go and you're going to pray over and you're going to start saying Jesus, and boom, before anything happens, they're going to start speaking in tongues, right? You ever had that experience? Anybody? Please, no, this is where I ask you to honestly say, did you ever have that experience? Four hands, guys. That is, for us, if we're going to get completely crass, 30%? Whatever. Doesn't always happen all the time. And we said, okay, if this is who we are, if this is what we do, we got to do better than that. If we believe that actually people, when you pray over them, that they receive the Holy Spirit, and it did all those things, like people get off the street. Come on. That's huge, guys, right? You're encouraged. You got power. You got all this stuff. If this is us, if this is who we are, if this is what we do, man, we got to do better than like one third. And maybe you're okay with one third. I hope not. Right? And so we said, okay, so how do we do this? And here's the, if there is secret sauce, if there's such a thing as secret sauce, here's what it is. And it's not terribly profound. It is what it is. We realized that oftentimes in people's lives, the problem was not in their heart, the problem was in their head. And so there is a battle for their mind. And just saying and praying actually didn't change the battle in their mind. And I thought, shoot, I should have known this. I grew up Mennonite. Any Mennonites in the house? Woo! Yeah, we're like kind of pathetic when it comes to this whole Holy Spirit thing. Well, at least my church was. They loved Jesus. The whole Father was awesome. The Holy Spirit, not sure why, but it seems good, right? It's in the Bible. And and so when I first got prayed for to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I got it. How many of you know that's actually biblical? Right? If you ask, you're not going to get a snake or a stone or a scorpion. Right? What are you going to get? The Holy Spirit. Right? So it's in. So you got it. And I remember I was sitting in a chair. And if you're a Mennonite, this is a bad thing. Right? I was sitting in a chair and my knees started bouncing. And that could be construed for dancing. Right? And my knees, and I was thinking, oh my goodness. And I was holding my knees down, seriously. I'm sitting there, thank you, Jesus. And I'm holding my knees down because I grew up conservative. And this is not conservative, your knees going like this. And pretty soon I would probably get up and do this. And you know the old joke, you know, why do Mennonites not dance? Because it might lead to sex, right? And it was just like, I didn't have that going through my mind, but it was kind of like that. And I thought, and I had, guys, 15 years from that time when I was a young guy, when that evangelist came through, to the place where it was like, I'm going to really believe that I have the Holy Spirit, that I can speak in tongues, that I have the ability to do all those ministry gifts that Pastor Mark talked about. You can prophesy, you can interpret tongues, you can do all that stuff, that I could have some confidence that I could do this. And there was an old farmer in Red Deer who smelled a lot like his cows when he prayed for me. And there was some people speaking in tongues in the background, and there was some worship music playing, and 15 years on my face crying out, saying, man, I'm a horrible Christian because I can't speak in tongues, because I can't do this. That wasn't sort of helpful for my whole spiritual state. And there are people in your churches who are just like this because they think they don't have something and they live in negativity. And I remember beginning to speak a couple words and just have those floodgates open. And my life changed. And you know what? I actually had all that stuff, but the enemy was up here and made me think that I didn't have it. And your churches are filled with people whose stories are interesting and different and might be a little bit that, but the battle is up here. So how are we going to combat up there? God, you know what God had to do in my mind? He had to deconstruct all those years of growing up in a great church who loved Jesus and everything, but had basically said the tongues were of the devil. That took a lot of deconstructing, and he was kind and he was gracious and he was not in a hurry. I was in a hurry. God was not, and he deconstructed stuff in my mind and gave me freedom. And this is what we want to have. So here's our not-so-profound formula that we have, is that if we're going to battle, if we're going to connect with people and pray with them, we are going to explain four things to them. We're going to explain that there's a history to this, because some people's problem is this seems like some weird cultish thing. Is your church a cult in your community? Anybody? Yeah, ours is. Church of the Rock is a cult, right? So then they come to this church, they hear some great preaching or whatever, and they go, oh, yeah, but this is new weirdness, right? I don't really like new weirdness. And so there's a history, and one of the handouts that you have, or the thing that you have on your smartphone, is a history of kind of the movement of the Holy Spirit and the things that have. We gave you this so you could use it, and you could learn it, and you could have it. And I'll talk a little bit about that in more detail. There's a biblical part of it. There's some objections that we have learned how to give good answers to that are simple. We are very simple people. We need simple answers. If your answers are complicated, guys, people are just going to fade out, right? And if they don't get it on the first time around, if you can't say this simply to somebody, you know what? They're not going to get it. You got to find simple ways to say this. So here, we're going to start off this way. You already said what the Holy Spirit did for you in a practical way. If you were going to tell somebody in one sentence what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, say, hey, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is this. What is it? Ooh. This is not the first time you said that, right? You had to figure that out. You can steal that because that's fantastic. Say it again. God's gift for power for word. Now that's him, and he worked through that. What else? How would you say it? You don't have to be that profound. He's like the pastor guy, and he spent years doing this, so whatever. Way to go. What else? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, it's the way that you get your heavenly love language. Okay, good. God living in you. Right. Here's what I want to encourage you to do, guys. You need to have that phrase for yourself. And you need to have the ability to say it really clearly and really concisely to the people around you. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And so we're going to take 20 seconds, which is way too short, and you are going to write something down or type something out. This is a workshop, remember? We're supposed to like work in workshops. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay, mine is the Holy Spirit coming upon me to supercharge my life. Because that's what I experience. Supercharge my life. Okay, what else? What'd you write down?
I put God's power and faith inside
me. Okay, what else? Real quick.
The overflowing presence of God in my life.
Okay, good. I would really like you to do this. I would really like you to think about this and write something down and have it the ability, because you know what? There are people around in your circles who need to hear something that comes from you, from who you are, to make it happen. Okay, so there's historical, biblical, objections, and physical. I'm going to run through this hopefully quickly. We'll see how that goes. On your sheet, you have that historical part of it, in your sheets, where you go from first century to second century to third century, all the way through in there to say, this is not something new that has just happened. On the next slide, you're going to see that this is who we are, guys, is we are coming out of the Azusa Street Revival, right? You guys know what that is? Okay, there's a URL on the bottom. You need to click on that. Now, it works doesn't work well on this screen, but on your screen, it'll work super well. And you need to know where you came from. And it's in your notes. And this is your direct dissension, your spiritual dissension. And you're going to have an ability to tell people that. And it's in your notes in the online, so you don't have to copy down, or you take a picture of it, right? And that there was a time that happened where people got together and they just said, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, even if it isn't something that I'm doing right now. And Seymour got up there and he started preaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he'd even speak in tongues. And this huge revival broke out that changed everything in North America. And this isn't some of this Johnny Come Lately stuff. There's a whole history that you can do out. And if you really want to be a good student and really want to help people, you need to know a little bit of this history, because there are some people who are going to be coming in and they're going to be thinking, your church is a cult and it's this weird stuff. And it's actually not. It's normal. Right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is normal. Guys, do you know that right now in the world, that's almost what everybody believes, except in North America. All the churches that are growing believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They are living out. It's like normal for them. It's weird. Like, I don't know what's wrong with us North Americans, right? It's sort of weird. We don't get it. And sometimes we get a little shy and we think, don't want to scare people off, don't want to do this. It's our history. It's who we are. So I'm going to let you research that. Biblically, there's a second thing that I want you to think about, and we're going to take just a minute to go through this. There are some people who are going to need to know and understand biblically, what does it mean that you get baptized? And there's just a few things that I want to talk to you about. And this was the one that was probably most helpful for me, is that when Jesus prayed for his disciples in John chapter 20, do you remember that? And he said, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, so also I'm sending you. We just heard this. And then he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. You got that, right? And then in Acts chapter 1, he says, wait around until you have the Holy Spirit. Jesus was like pretty bad at this whole discipleship, because he went, receive the Holy Spirit. Got nothing. And you need to learn to teach and be able to give to people to say, okay, what's the difference? And these are the words that have worked for me. Is that when he said, receive the Holy Spirit, he filled them up. And they got it in. Ready? Cover your phones. You too. And when he said, upon, he went like that. And he put it upon them. How much did you get? Oh, not bad. Sorry. Filled or upon? If I can do it to him, I have to get myself. Yeah, well, this is all part of how it works, right? And I want you to think about that, because I think that's been, people go, oh, I get it. You got inside. And when you become a Christian, and whenever those people who you're praying for become a Christian, do they have the Holy Spirit? Jesus has breathed on them. It's there. They are filled. But there is something that happens with, I should leave this cap on. That may be more helpful. It was like upon that they got, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And those are the two words that are super clear in Scripture that you're going to have the ability to unpack. And part of, guys, that's going to take away a whole bunch of anxiety in people's lives, because they actually want to know the truth. Is this some weird cult thing? Or is this the way we do it? Okay, so that's the first one. The second one is in the early church. And this is one we can take a few minutes to unpack too. Is that there is a lot of, when they read in Corinthians, when Paul is talking and he says that, does everybody speak in tongues? And basically the implied answer is no. And they're going to come to you and they're going to say, okay. So in the early church, Paul is saying, you don't speak in tongues, and yet all you crazy culty people think that you're supposed to speak in tongues. You need to have like a really, really good answer to this question. What's the 20-second answer to this question? There are two kinds of tongues. And we're going to take a minute to unpack that in a little bit later, but you need to understand that. And if you haven't, and this is to my shame, I was a pastor at this church for way too many years before I took a long time, and I looked into that, and I really understood it. Like, I think it says that there's two kinds, and you know what? I didn't actually study it. And what, guess how confident I was talking to people when they asked me that question? I'm very good at talking, so I got my way out of it. But I was actually quite pathetic. So here's my challenge to you, and I want to get in your face on this. For Pete's sake, study the Bible. Don't be like me, right? Go and look at that and take your time and look in the scripture and understand that there is the gift of tongues, those ministry gifts that we talked about, that where, you remember when Pastor Mark talked about they talked in a nook-took and everything? There's a ministry gift that happens, and there's a personal prayer language. And for me, I think that wording has been helpful for us to talk to people. Do you guys, anybody use different wording to compare the two kinds of tongues? What do you use? Anything different than that? Frank, you guys use that kind of stuff? Anybody else? Private prayer language? Yeah. Private and public. Yeah. Also really good. The reason why we didn't do that was because, okay, so can my private become public then? And there was, you know, there was a little bit of confusion we got for us. But those two things, that there's a gift of tongues that has in the public setting, like he's talking about. There is that personal prayer language that comes in the private setting. And if you can take 1 Corinthians and you can just spend a little minute unpacking it for people, there is going to be a whole level of stuff in their mind that's going to go down. And you are going to be a great gift to the people around you. Third one is this. Is that it's commanded, that it's not just, you know, through the Jedi Council that all this kind of stuff comes. In Jude 20, it says, but you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. And it says, pray in the Spirit in all occasions. I had a couple guys that I talked to that said, yeah, where's that in the Bible? That you're supposed to pray in the Spirit. And as soon as, like literally the moment that I gave them Jude 20, they go, oh, okay, let's pray. And he took my hand, went boom like that, and he started speaking in tongues. Why didn't I do that sooner, right? People have constructs in their mind that you and I have the ability to actually break down. Now, those first two things, you know how we do it, and this is sort of your deal, is we do it as a class. And we literally have it in our 101 class where we go through that stuff in way more detail than I've gone through. And we've also done it during a campaign. If you got those little cards back there, it's the 40 days, 50 days in the Spirit, right? 50 days in the Spirit where we teach that. And all of that material is on there. And what we just decided, rather than trying to do it right at the beginning, we're going to get our whole church together and we're going to do that. And whatever way you choose to do it, whether you do it privately or personally, those kind of very basic biblical stuff that we have and historical pieces are incredibly, like, this may sound ridiculous to you, but in my life, it's actually raised the bar 50% by doing those things and taking the time. And first, I had to actually do it for myself, not just talk. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a few minutes. How many minutes are we going to take, Junie? Give me how many you have till 10 minutes. Okay, good. We're going to take 10 minutes, and we're going to talk about some of the objections that people have to, that you have heard to people speaking in tongues or having the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Got that slide up there? There we go. What is it? Guys, what have you heard? What are the objections, intellectual? And here's what you want to do. You want to differentiate between people who just want to argue with you and people who really want to grow. How do you tell the difference between those two people? It's kind of hard, isn't it? Jason, how do you tell the difference between people who are just arguing, argumentative, and they want to have a fight?
If I ask a couple of follow-up questions and there's some thought behind it, or if it's just a pure emotion of anger or disagreement?
Okay. Good. Anybody else? How can you tell if somebody's just... Because some people, arguing is like blood sport, right? They love it. How do you know somebody really wants to know? asking questions. Yep. And even if there's, you know what, I was just so ignorant to people, I would try to poke at them. But you know what, behind it, I really wanted this. Right? And I would poke hard at people. So don't be put off by people who poke at you. Because if they really poke and they ask questions, that means they want it. And they're actually desperate for it. And they just, this thing up here is, I would go home and I would cry. Because I thought I was a terrible Christian. Because I, you know, I wanted, I did, I tried. And nobody, oh, my wife knew I was crying. But nobody else knew that. And I would find people and I would say, well, what is if you guys, hey, you think you're so superior. But behind all that bluster was a young guy who just wanted desperately, if there is more of God, I want that. So that's what you got to get, right? Don't waste your time on people who just foolish and stupid arguments. Okay, objections. What are some of the things that people put in the way and go, ah, I don't know. Ended with the book of Acts. Yeah. What else? There's that. Good North American apathy. Yeah. Yeah. That's a bit tough, right? What else?
If it's caused so much damage, is it worth the risk?
Right. Yeah, right. A divisive thing. Yeah. Right. That's a careful, they want to be careful. Yeah. Right. Not a good understanding of how this thing actually works, right? It was so weird to me when I first heard somebody who actually sat down and explained stuff to me, not just, like, I remember, you know, stand up, Jason. This is the first time that I got somebody to pray for me. It was like this. Ready? Don't brace yourself.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. And I thought, you did it again, I'm going to smack you. Right? I'm a Mennonite, but I'm not really. Right? There's not a lot of pacifism. And that was the thing, right? And that was my extent of people wanting to. I thought, I hate these people in Jesus, right? But, and somebody sat down and said, hey, you know what? Can I do this to you? Can I just go, Kedabasi Totama Sotamashi Tanamaka? And my first thing was, I wanted to go like this, right? Because it sounded weird and foreign to me. But there was something deep inside of me called the Holy Spirit that said, oh, so you can control it. There's a thing there that isn't some wild, out of control, whatever, whatever. And guys, that moment, super unhelpful. That moment changed my life. So somebody sat down and said, what are your objections? It just seems, and for me, it was like a series of things, but that whole thing that God had control and he had given, that God is a God of order and control, and he had given me, because I had heard lots of that other stuff, right, where it was just like, and I'd had charismatic friends who were like, oh my God, please don't make me like that. But I would love to be like that, where I could have peace and answer prayer and all that other stuff. So if you are going to connect with people, you need to sit down and say, what are your objections? And one of the other handouts that you have talks about some of the things, like how is it distinct from water baptism? Do I have to speak in tongues? And kind of lays out some of those things. So we're going to take a minute and go through just a couple of those. Do you have to speak in tongues if you're water baptized? If you're spirit baptized? Could you? Yeah. Here's what we found is very helpful. Rather than saying, you should speak in tongues, we say, hey, you know what, guys? You could. You actually have the ability to do that. And it's completely, the defenses fall away when you say, I think you could do that. And we say, you know what, hang around our church for a while, get to know some of the people, talk, chat. This is what we say. We say, you know what, Pastor Duane's house is always open. We're going to send you there. We give them his address and go and sit at his table, and he is going to talk to you, doesn't matter what time of day or night, and he is going to, and Duane has a total passion for helping people receive their spiritual language. And he says, you can sit at his table until you get it. And everybody laughs. They think it's funny, but it's actually true. If you want to sit down and talk to somebody and talk through some of these things, and where Paul says not everything speak in tongues, there's two, is it different from salvation? There's a whole history that you're going to see of written down stuff of where Paul received his salvation but didn't have the Holy Spirit. Paul, oh, hello, you know, big road to Damascus experience, different. And when I saw those things, I went, oh. So this isn't some weird charismatic thing taking one verse out of context and making a big deal out of it. It actually happened to the disciples. It happened to Paul. Simon the sorcerer got saved, didn't have it. There's a whole list of things, and you go, oh, interesting. And some of the constructs in people's mind start getting broken down. So if you pray over somebody, and they don't immediately speak in tongues, what you say next might be the most important thing. What do you say? Not yet. Okay. What else? Dwayner, what do you say? Ah. Do both of those things bring you hope? The gift is available, you just haven't learned how to use it yet. Oh, I can learn. Okay. Rather than, you're kind of a crappy Christian. And that you will never say that, but that's what's going to come into their mind, and they're going to believe it. That they are somehow inferior. Because, and you guys, you've seen this. You've seen when people get called up in the churches, and there's this lineup of people they get prayed for, and some people get it, and as pastors, we stick the mic in their face, because we love doing this kind of stuff. And then the people who don't get it slowly shrink away and fall away. Guys, this is a shepherding issue, right? This is us caring about the flock. And as I look around here, I see a bunch of people who can shepherd people. And to say, and you might think I'm overdoing this, but the words that you say and how you say them can either bring life or bring death. And so when somebody doesn't speak in tongues, and what you say next, this is another one of those things. I want you to think about that. What do you say next? Do you just sort of move quickly and move on to the next person? Because you know what? When I start praying over people in tongues, what I realized is that I was personally investing my ability to do stuff as I prayed over them. And I was making it about me. Anybody else ever done that? Yeah. Thank you, Frank. And especially if you're the pastor, you're supposed to be the man of power, right? Or you're leading your home group or small group or whatever, and you pray and it doesn't happen, and you start taking personally. You know where that's from? The pit of hell. Because the enemy does not want people to understand that this is who we are, this is what we do. And what you say is incredibly important, and your heart behind it. We are going to go to the ends of the earth to help people receive this. And if you're just going to skip on to the next thing, and next one, people are going to see that, and we are going to get the reputation that we deserve about not really caring about people. And of all those five things on the board, like the five gifts, guess what? It's when I have. I'm the pastor. And I think you need to pastor people into this. And pastor, you are all can shepherd, and you can care for people. Okay, there's the gift, there's the objections that you have, and the last thing that I want to talk to you about is this, is how you actually help people physically do this, and just skip right to the cartoon, because that's the best stuff. No, the other one with the tongues. Did we do that one already? There we go. There's tongues of fire coming down. You know what I realized? Is that people don't know what to do when you pray for them. Because most people go like this. And they're waiting for something to happen. And I'm going to get you over here again. What do you say to people when you've prayed over them and you say, now you can speak in tongues? Just let it happen. What do you say? Say banana, 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 banana. Please don't ever say that. It's so horrible. What do you say? If it's not coming right away, start praying. Okay. What else? Open your mouth. Breathe. Pastor Mark says, let the air go over your larynx, because people will go, nothing happening. And this, as weird and simple as this sounds, guys, it's actually incredibly important. You actually have to help people. And as soon as they get it, they got one word, like sha, 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 and we go, great. And so what do you say when they get one word? Keep practicing, keep going. You're going to get one word. You may wake up in the middle of the night and just have that one word, and it's going to get expanded. Your job is to be encouragers. Blow the wind of the Spirit on them and say, guys, you can do this. This is yours. And that one word, just keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. I came back a week later and I still had one word. I said, it's only been a week. That's fantastic. Keep going with your one word and just make it happen and do that. And it's one of the things that kind of open your mouth, put worship, you submit to God like we talked about. You trust him that he's going to do this. One of the things that I have really worked hard on is saying, did we pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit? And they say, yes, okay. Then you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, my theology is, if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can speak in tongues. It is not helpful for them to feel that pressure. When they leave, you say, you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Go. And what are the marks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Biblically. Boldness. Use of gifts. Power, and sometimes, guys, we get caught up in the whole tongues thing, and it's super unhelpful. Some of the best evangelist people I know got their tongues like later, but they were like crazy bold after they got prayed for evangelism. They had this burden, and they spent all their time trying to speak in tongues instead of getting out there and saving people, which is actually what God had given them the ability to do, and they should have just forgot about the tongues for a while and go out and do that stuff and be bold. So if people sometimes are in that place, I say, you know what, we're not going to worry about that. And they wake up one day in the morning and they're speaking in tongues and they don't even think about it. Meanwhile, the boldness, the gifts, all that stuff was flowing out of them. And that's what they should have been focusing on. Do we believe that it's true that everybody can speak in tongues? Absolutely. But how we shepherd this, guys, I hope you're hearing this. This is so important that we get how we shepherd this and walk this through. So here's what we're going to do. You have a little piece of paper that maybe, or you have something that says praying for baptism of the Holy Spirit, which has what you say, you repeated the same thing over and over again. This is what we actually handed out to our leaders because we realized they had no idea how to pray for somebody. And so we said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit down and we're going to do this. And we're going to say, do you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes, nice, good answer. Do you have any questions?
No. Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. For the next few minutes, you are going to pair off right now. Right now, pair off. Yes, do that right now. You're leaders. You can make this happen. We need one here. Okay, right here. You're going to do that, and you are going to, one of you is going to pray, the other person is going to receive, but you people who are receiving, I want you to think of one good objection that you want a genuine answer to, and you are going to get practice in talking in very simple, basic terms of what that is. What would be your answer to that objection? And, like, don't be ignorant, the receiver, but say something, like have an objection, and you're going to take like 3 minutes, and you're going to do that, answer that objection, okay? So you have the pieces of paper there. You start with, do you want to receive the Holy Spirit? And then you say, do you have any questions? Go. Okay, way too short, guys. I understand. But here's what I want. From the people who were receiving, what was something that they said that you thought was a really great way to say it?
When I said, what if this just is weird and I don't want to be crazy?
Yeah.
And instead of coming at this and saying, well, this isn't crazy, you said, yeah, you know what? This is a little weird. This is not natural.
Right. See, I'm like such a simple guy. I love that. This is not, yeah, it is a bit weird. It's not natural. It's supernatural. Yes. And guess what? In our society, guys, we're the ones that are scared of being too much like this. The world isn't. I had a friend of mine who just said, oh yeah, my so-and-so died. And yeah, they were talking to this medium and they said, this medium said their soul wasn't at rest. And they said, oh yeah. And they totally believed it. We live in a world, guys, where they are dying to hear something supernatural. Awesome. What else? What's something that was said that you thought, oh, that's great? Okay, and what was the answer? You're still figuring out. Okay, we're gonna do this. We're going a little bit into overtime, but we're gonna do this real quickly. What's a really quick answer to that? Like, what's the core of the answer? How do I know it's from God, and how do I know it's, or if it's from the devil? Yeah.
Well, you're desiring the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Your heart and intent is to want more of God.
Right.
I think where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you ask for bread, you're going to get what? You are not getting a stone. Real quick. Who has your heart? Perfect. Okay. Other things that people said that you thought were really great. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. For God says in the Bible, and for some people that's going to be like super enough. Other people, they're going to go, Bible? Yeah. Somebody else. Yeah. Yeah. Ah, good. Good. That's great. Other, you guys back there. Yeah. Yeah. Really? Right. Right. And I think, guys, can there be anything more awkward than you're coming in the middle of church, you're doing stuff, and somebody comes like this, and they're looking at you, and they're laying their head like, oh my goodness, kill me now, right? Super pressure. Maybe, and just to release people to say, you know what, you're going to be laying in your bed sometime, and it's just going to come out of you, and you're going to go, oh, I don't know if I can trust that, and you can because you didn't make it up. It just came out of you. That's great. One or two more. You get this, guys, right? Real, like, concise answers to people that hit right where they are, breaks down the constructs in their mind that they don't even know that are there. What else? Did Dwayne say anything profound or no? Yeah, I understand. Yeah, no, just what were you? Sorry, Dwayne. What were you guys talking about?
We started with asking a question that it seems to like that.
Okay. And what's a good answer to that question? He's got other giftings, but he doesn't have tongues. You're a bad person, and there's sin in your life. Focus on what? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and here's the thing. And guys, we can got to go through this. Yeah. We can kind of go through this in a whole bunch of different ways, but here's how you close. Is find, I take that scripture, or whatever, and you just pray a blessing of faith over and say, Lord, thank you that you have given the Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that things have changed. And whether they speak in tongues or don't speak in tongues, whether they do this or whatever, I thank you that they're going to have a chance to learn and they're going to grow in it. And you pray every blessing that comes to your mind, you just pour it out over these people. So when they leave, what are they thinking about? The blessing that you prayed over them, not about didn't I, making this up, am I not making this up? You are, remember what we heard this morning? You are passing it on. You are sending them with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen.